Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. You know, for years I worked in the electrical industry and worked for three different companies. And I was an engineer, and God dealt with us one day and realized, I think God's called us in the ministry. So we sold our house, quit our job, and moved to another state and went to school. Got out and got my degree in theology and got on staff with the church. And I was what they call the education director. So we do. Well, I educate people. And I ask them why. Well, whatever they need to know. And so people ask me, you know, because we've traveled some 26 years. We do about 60 seminars a year now. And they say, man, where'd you learn the Bible? I said, well, I went to a good Bible school, got a good degree in theology. That's not where I learned the Bible. I learned the Bible from teaching kids, high school students, junior high, my own kids. I found a good children's Bible storybook at a bookstore years ago called Eggermeyer's Bible Storybook. It's still in print. I think Warner Press produces it. And so the lady took every major story in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and wrote a one-page or page-and-a-half modern English version of that story. So I realized, you know, kids don't read the Bible, but they'll listen to stories. So I've got to create a hunger in them. So I'd always read a teach a Bible story in the class, and I tried to never finish it, tried to leave them hanging. And so kids would quit. Well, what happened? Well, we'll pick it up tomorrow. What happened? Well, read your own Bible, you know. And I'd tell them where to read it. And so what I learned was that God is a very practical God. You know, I tell people, Jesus was only in the ministry for 3.5 years. For the bulk of his life, some 20 years, he's working in his carpenter shop that his dad had. And, of course, his dad passed away, and Jesus took over the business. So Jesus is sort of the local Home Depot guy. He's the local carpenter. You know, you need a table, he'll build it. You need a boat mast, he and his family, they'll build it. Jesus' whole family ran this business. Everybody in town knew his name. You need a bench, you need a doorpost, you need a boat mast, go to Jesus. He's the local guy, he'll get it done. So Jesus was known as a businessman for years, not as a minister. In Mark chapter 6, when Jesus started his ministry, somebody said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? They said, we know this guy. He's the local Home Depot guy. He's the local, you know, business guy. And so he had challenges with that. So what I used to tell people, you know, I worked with Full Gospel Businessmen years ago when it was real popular. And what I loved on a Saturday morning, maybe a Saturday night on a weekend, we'd have businessmen show up. We'd have a little breakfast or a luncheon or a dinner. And so businessmen would give testimony. These are local guys in town that we knew, you know, the carpenter, the electrician, the plumber, the business owner. And we'd let them share about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Hey, Bill, would you share tonight? Just share your testimony. Well, my name's Bill, you know, and I got born again, and God helped me with my business. You know, I fell in a big vat of tar one day, got burned up, but God healed me, you know, and about went bankrupt, but God saved my business. And there were business stories. I thought, man, that's fascinating. I love it because I'd been in church my whole life. I mean, we went to every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every camp meeting, every training union. We were there, and I love God. I fear God. It's like, and so, but I never heard anything business because when I grew up, you know, God's with you on Sunday, Wednesday, the rest of the week, you're on your own, you know, you're just on your own because God's not in the business world. God's holy, and we got a lot of candle, hum of him, suck rug, shave your head. No, God's in the normal, everyday world. He answers normal, everyday prayers about normal, everyday life. So I've been collecting stories, and I thought, well, let's just find out. So I love studying, so I went back through, and here's what I got. Jesus was a businessman. So of all the stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all business stories. Every story was a business story. Believe it or not, people said, no, that's not true. So listen, let me just give you some of this. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus told a story about construction. Luke chapter 5, he told a story about winemaking. He's at a big wedding feast, and everybody's having a good time, and all of a sudden, they ran out of wine. Now, there's no Pepsi or Coca-Cola back then. It's what they did. There's no refrigerator, you know. And so this catering company's serving this big thing going on, and Jesus is back in the kitchen probably eating crackers and cheese or something, and he heard a conversation. Oh, man, we're out of wine. And so you can't be out of wine. Man, the thing's not even half over. Yeah, we're out. And the guy said, oh, man, what are we going to do? I'll never get another business as a caterer. My name is ruined. You can't do a catering thing and run out of wine. You can't do that. And so Jesus said, what's the problem? Well, we're out of wine. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Take the wine buckets, fill them up with water. They said, what? And somebody said, just do what the master says. So they took these big buckets, they filled them up with water, and Jesus went around and he laid hands on all the buckets. He said, okay, go in and serve the people. And the Bible says that they went in and he turned the water into wine. Not just wine, but really good wine. So he goes and he's serving the guests at the big festival that's going on. And somebody said, man, you saved the best wine for last. Usually you serve the best wine first until everybody's so drunk they don't know what they're drinking. No, you save the best for last. Jesus didn't just make wine. He made the best stuff. Jesus was into helping business people. It's kind of what he did. Mark chapter 4, Jesus told a story about farming. Matthew chapter 13, he told a story about treasure hunting. Matthew 18, he told a story about ranching. Matthew 20, he told a story about management and labor, and everybody's involved with that. Matthew 21, he talked about family-owned business. There's more family-owned business in America than there is anything else, man. They're on every corner. Every strip shopping center is family-owned businesses. In Luke chapter 20, he talked about hostile takeovers. Because listen, the devil, he doesn't play fair. He's not just in your church service. He'll try to mess up your business. Matthew 25, Jesus taught about return on investments. In Luke chapter 12, he talked about futures markets. He really did. Mark 13, he talked about crop yield. Luke chapter 12, he talked about management criteria. What does it take to be a good manager, to own a business, to run a good business? He told you how to do that. Luke 14, he talked about the need for observation and research. Hey, how's our sheep doing? How are cattle doing? How's the crop doing? You need to steward what God gave you. God's a God of stewardship. What you take care of, he gives you more of. You know, it's the parable of the, you know, Jesus talked about a guy who got, you know, 5 sections of land, 2 sections, 1 section. The guy with 5 doubled to 10, the guy with 2 doubled to 4. Jesus is telling the story. He said, the guy that doubled, well done. To the guy that doubled, well done. One guy got 1 section of land. He didn't do anything with it. He just gave it back in its original condition. And Jesus said, you wicked and lazy servant. You should at least cash that land in and put money in the bank. At least I could have drawn some interest. Whatever God gives us, he wants us to improve, to increase, to make better. And so Jesus performed business miracles. I'll give you this. Matthew 14, 13, a tremendous return on a young boy's investment. Jesus got people on the hillside. Some historians say there were as many as 30,000. Now, the Bible says there's 5,000 men, but they got wives and kids and grandparents. On the hillside, they've been there for 3 days. I don't know what he was preaching, but it was powerful because nobody went home. And of course, there's no McDonald's, no Hardee's, no Arby's. There's no drive-in place. And so the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, we got to do something. Man, our stomach stuck together. Man, I ran out of food 2 days ago. Let's shut this thing down, send everybody into town so they can get something to eat. We'll pick the meeting up day after tomorrow. She said, no, we can feed them. No, Lord, we can't feed them. We're out of food. We ran out days ago. We're out. And to mock him, they brought this kid that had walked through camp this morning. He said, all we have is this little boy's lunch. Now, they didn't do it to encourage Jesus. They're trying to tell him, no, we're in trouble. We're out of food. All we've got is a little kid's lunch. Jesus said, that's all you need. So this kid with the loaves and fishes, Jesus takes it. He said, now listen, we're about to have a miracle. Sit everybody down in groups of 50. There's a great Bible illustration. Order always preceded increase. Order precedes increase throughout the Bible. You know, Noah's going to build a boat, but God told him how big, how tall, how wide, how deep, and how many animals he's going to put on it. Order precedes increase. Said, you want to have a miracle? Get a budget. It works really good. And so he sits them down in groups of 50. Jesus prays over the loaves and fishes. He begins to break it, and he told the disciples, hand this out. And every time he broke it, it grew back. So the Bible says hours go by and he feeds everybody. And then Jesus asks, hey, everybody full? And somebody yells, sure, Lord, we're full, belly button sticking out right now. So Jesus told the apostles, okay, get some empty baskets, walk around and pick up the leftovers. And the Bible says they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And then Jesus said, follow this boy home and take the food home with him. Because when you sow, you reap. So the kid goes home, and I'm sure hours are gone by, and he comes in the back door of the house or whatever, and his mom probably says, where have you been? Mom, you're not going to believe it. It's been a crazy day. I met this little Jewish rabbi guy, and I gave him my lunch. You gave your lunch away? Mom, calm down a minute. Boys, bring the baskets in. And 12 men bring 12 baskets of loaves and fishes into the kitchen, and they sit it down and say, Mom, you can't believe it. I gave this guy my lunch, and he gave me back 12 baskets. And I'm sure Mama was thinking, we don't know what she said, but I can imagine most Mama, okay, you take your lunch, you go back tomorrow, we're going to do this again. I don't know what this is, but it works. God's into increase. God's always been into increase. God's not trying to punish, he's trying to increase us. I like this, two miraculous catches of fishes in Luke 5, John 21. Been fishing all night, caught nothing. Jesus said, throw your nets over. And the Bible says the nets filled immediately with fish. Boats were sinking. Nets were breaking. There's a miracle. Peter retired off that catch of fish, by the way. Then like this, Jesus worked liberally with poor people and upper end society. Jesus was no respecter of persons. I'm telling you. Then one time Peter couldn't have any tax money and we're down by the lake. Just, well, throw your net in and grab that fish. Get that fish out of that net. Open its mouth. And all of a sudden, he opened his mouth and said, there's a coin. There's a gold coin. Take this and pay your taxes. Throughout the Bible, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament, from Genesis, Revelation, God is loving people. He sent his son to die for people. He raised him from the dead. God is in heaven, his son right, praying for us every day. God wants us to succeed. Now, there are tests and trials of life. Everybody goes through them. But God's goal is that we succeed. God said, I'll bless whatever you set your hand to. I'm going to talk to you when you wake up and you go to sleep, when you lie down, when you get up. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, you've got to overcome. You've got to resist some things. You've got to be more than a conqueror. But I'm going to give you a victory. You have to fight. It's called the fight of faith. It's not a fist fight. We fight the fight of faith. But God is trying to help us in every way. So that's one of the greatest stories I think we've ever taught in all the years I worked with those kids and with adults that I worked with. God is in to helping you in your business. He's not just on Sunday. God's God on Monday morning. Jesus Lord on Tuesday evening. Jesus Lord Wednesday night. Jesus is Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. Let's do it, guys. God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.